How old was I when I first seen old Rivers? I can't remember when he wandered around. Well, that old fella did a heap of work. Spent his whole life walking plowed ground. He had a one-room shack not far from us, and, well, we was about as poor as him. He had one old mule he called Midnight, and I trailed along after them. He used to plow them rows straight and deep, and I'd come along there behind, busting up clods with my own bare feet. Old Rivers was a friend of mine. The sun would get high and that mule would work, and old Rivers would finally say, "Whoa." He'd wipe his brow and lean back in the reins and talk about a place he's going to go.
Welcome back, everyone. Push that chair up close to that campfire on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Not sure what that bright thing is in the sky this morning. This is your handsome but yet humble host, Ray I. Here we are on the last segment of our show. Had a wonderful show. Great guests. The show just seems to get better and better, and that's because of our sponsors and the great guests that we're able to get on the show with us. We thank everybody for joining us this morning as we finish up in this last segment. Hard to believe we've already went through 2 hours in this show. We're going to do a little story time, and this particular story, because of our turkey hunting shows we've done throughout turkey season, our last turkey hunting show, we're going to do another Back to the Ozarks, Back to Yesteryear story time. Now, this is a story time I used in the late 70s and 80s in my seminars around the country, and I quit using this particular story time because so many people started using it. Other seminar speakers in areas that I traveled in other states, and when I'd go back to do shows, people were using this. I went to Michigan one year and was waiting in the wings to go up as the next speaker, and the speaker in front of me from Michigan finished his program with two of my stories. So it made it kind of tough, but I want to bring it back, and it was a shorter version in the seminar series, and this is more of the full version of story time. What I did in a segment of my seminars, I had it different categories for scouting, locating, and then hunting equipment, guns, and ammunition. And this one was in the guns and ammunition section. So hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next week here on Eye in the Outdoors. Here we go. Okay, boys and girls, it's story time with your Uncle Ray. This week's story is The Big City Hunter Comes to the Ozarks. In Missouri's early years of turkey hunting, hunters traveled great distances to experience the wonderful springtime wild turkey hunting in the Missouri Ozarks. Thanks to the Missouri Department of Conservation and its citizens in rural areas, the wild turkey restoration program was a great success and in full swing, with wild turkeys trapped and relocated throughout the Ozarks and the state of Missouri. An official spring turkey hunting season was a new concept in the state of Missouri, with the first ever spring season opening in 1960. With the success of this program, it provided much needed additional revenue to rural areas. Hunters from across Missouri, as well as other states in the Midwest, began pumping a ton of money into the economy of these small Ozark communities. My Uncle Lee, never one to look a gift horse in the mouth, was one of the first to figure out how to make a dollar from turkey hunting. In the early days of Missouri turkey hunting, very few people knew very much about how to hunt and call these wild, elusive creatures. But my uncle, on the other hand, was a very good turkey hunter. He grew up around wild turkeys and was known far and wide for his calling ability. You see, there was always wild turkeys in the hills around my grandpa's farm. In fact, some of the very first live trappings of wild turkeys took place in the hills around the farm. And my Uncle Lee, he killed big gobblers in each of the first 5 seasons and even lured birds to the gun for friends and family. While a small group of resident hunters guided out of area for foreign turkey hunters, Uncle Lee was one of the fortunate few who could get $20 in advance. On many occasions, strangers would stop by the old store to request help after a little success on their own. Wild Bill, the guy who ran the local gas station and check station, would often send hunters to Uncle Lee during the spring turkey season when they needed a guide. One spring day on a sunny afternoon, the stranger drove his shiny new 1966 blue Cadillac up the rutted old road to the farm. His name was Jim Smith, and he had traveled all the way from Kansas City area. He was a short, heavy-set man in his late 40s, was sporting a fancy new hunting clothes and brand new boots, and he had a brand new over-and-under 20-gauge shotgun. You see, Jim Smith was an experienced and well-known upland bird hunter. Wild Bill had sent him over to meet Uncle Lee and see if he would guide him on a turkey hunt. Jim's plan was to fulfill his dream of killing a wild turkey and having it mounted for his trophy room. Jim explained to Uncle Lee that he's willing to pay $30 for the hunt and another $20 if he kills a turkey. My uncle does not want this one to get away, so he quickly agrees with a handshake and he takes the man's money. Brand new crisp bills. My grandma invites a stranger into her home for a big supper of corn on the cob, pork chops, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade bread, and a dessert of blackberry cobbler. After a great meal, Uncle Lee has Jim follow him down the valley to the head of Dry Fork Holler to my great Uncle Mont's cabin where they put him up for the night. At dusk, my Uncle Lee leaves the cabin and his hunter to rest as he hikes up toward the Johnson Mountain on Clinton Ridge, high above the old cabin, to roost one very valuable wild turkey. Right at dark at the edge of an Ozark glade, he hears the unmistakable sounds of turkeys flying up to roost. Then, just below him, he hears what he's been waiting for, the heavy wings of a big gobbler that roosts at the edge of the glade. He cups his hands around his mouth and hoots a perfect "Who cooks for you all" of the barred owl. The gobbler rifles back in reply. Uncle Lee smiles as he quietly slips back down the mountain into the valley below and back to the cabin. Very early the next morning, as the cabin warms with the soft glow of kerosene lamp and a fire in the fireplace, the men try their best to wake up after a late night around the campfire. Still in a sleepy stupor, Jim struggles to get dressed as the guide prepares breakfast. Hunter and guide gulp down fresh coffee and devour a big plate of biscuits and gravy. Stepping outside, Uncle Lee strikes a wooden match and lights the old kerosene lantern. As the hunters depart into the cool early morning air, they walk along to a chorus of gurgling stream and the whippoorwills, the age-old song of the turkey hunter. After the long walk all the way across the old field to the base of Clinton Ridge, they speak for the first time since leaving the cabin. Uncle Lee explains his plan for the morning. "Jim, we're going to have to climb a ways." He pauses and begins again. "You'll have to be very quiet. When we get to where we're going, you have to sit very still and only move when I tell you." Jim nods his head as they turn and begin the steep, rough climb to the ridge to where the gobblers roosted at the glade. The big city hunter is breathing heavily as he labors to keep up with his guide. When they finally arrive, just short of the glade and the sleeping gobbler, Uncle Lee tells Hunter, "I'll tote the gun from here. Move very slowly." When they reach the place he wants to set up, Uncle Lee holds up the lantern and says, "Sit down right against that big pine tree." The lantern fades out and their world goes dark, very dark, as they wait for daylight. As the soft orange glow of the first light appears in the eastern sky, Uncle Lee whispers instructions into his hunter's ear. "Now listen, you really have to sit still. Raise your left knee to rest the gun barrel. Keep your head up and I'll tell you when to shoot." As he slides a small bird hunting 20-gauge gun to Jim, he's thinking about their chances. Jim is a quail hunter. His gun is a fancy over and under 20-gauge, a bird gun. The veteran turkey hunter knows the gobbler must be close for a clean kill. The open glade is the right choice for an open shot. Uncle Lee just hopes that he can keep Jim still enough during the excitement of the hunt. He could really use that extra money. The hens below the glade speak first. Their soft tree calls signal the beginning of a new day. Suddenly, a gobbler sounds off from below their setup as an owl hoots somewhere down the ridge. Uncle Lee whispers, "Remember, don't move and don't shoot until I tell you." He takes a deep breath and hoots like a great horned owl. The booming gobble is close and right in front of the hunter. The veteran guide carefully scratches out a few soft yelps on his weathered box call, and the gobblers reply, "That's him." Turkeys are now gobbling all across the ridge. The hunter is breathing hard and shaking uncontrollably. The roosted gobbler on the glade is now gobbling nonstop at the crows, owls, other turkeys, and the love call from Uncle Lee's trusty old box call. After several minutes of this beautiful music, all becomes quiet along the ridgetop. Suddenly, the big tom glides down, lands about 70 yards out in the open glade, and blows up into full strut. Uncle Lee says, "Don't move," holds his hands low in his lap, and scratches out a quick series of yelps. The gobbler folds up and struts their way. At 60 yards, he stops again and begins to strut in circles. With the early morning sun peeking over the horizon and the soft light reflecting off the colorful plumage of the Ozark gobbler ghost, Jim is drawing donuts in the air with his gun barrel as he continues to shake with excitement. Through heavy breathing, he frantically whispers to Lee, "I can kill him." Uncle Lee, right behind him on his shoulder, hisses back, "No, you can't. He's too far. You can't kill him. Sit still." Jim, growing ever more anxious, says, "Again, I'm telling you, I can kill him." Uncle Lee, he's back. "You can't kill him. Sit still." Several minutes of heated discussion as the turkey moves slowly their way. Then my Uncle Lee begins to weigh out the options. This guy is shaking so bad. His barrel is drawing donuts. This bird is hung up about 50 yards away, well out of range of this novice's 20 gauge. Lee knows the bird is bound to spook at any second. Something has to be. I'm telling you, I could kill him. So Lee's thinking, I've done my part. I put him on a bird. He's out in front of him. If he shoots and misses, I still got the upfront money. And this guy just got a great show. Besides, if the gobbler gets any closer, this hunter's more likely to cripple him than kill him with this little gun. Better to have a clean miss and call him in for someone else in a day or two. So Uncle Lee makes his decision. Just as the bird suddenly stops at about 45 yards and stands straight up and goes, whoop! Lee shoves three fingers in Jim's ribs and says, okay, kill him! Kill him! The gun roars at the sound of the shot. As it echoes across the valley, the gobbler goes down hard, graveyard dead, doesn't even quiver. There's just one little feather kind of floating in the air. This turkey didn't even kick. The hunter then collapses into a heap, shaking uncontrollably, and he can't breathe. Uncle Lee stands up, pulls off his hat, and scratches his head. Holy cow! Jim, what in the world are you shooting? Jim turns to Uncle Lee with a big grin and says, deer slugs!
And that's story time this week with your Uncle Red.
I got a letter today from the folks back home, and they're all fine. Crops is dry. Down near them in, Mom said, son, you know old Rivers died. Sitting here now in this new plowed earth, trying to find me a little shade. The sun beating down across the fields I see. That mule, old Rivers, and me.
Thanks for joining us on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Thanks for joining us for Eyes on the Outdoors National Radio Show. Share the outdoors with others. And always be a positive role model for hunting, gun ownership, and conservation. We'll see you next time around the campfire. Be safe out there in the woods and on the water. Say goodbye, Peanut.